Welcome to Say It's Lit, the one and only podcast embracing queer narratives, where every topic is fair game. Get ready for some serious sass and juicy insights into everything queer. I'm your unfiltered host, Matticus, and I'm about to plunge into the unheard stories of the vibrant queer and ally communities. So hold on tight, because we're not just breaking the silence, we're obliterating it. Hey guys, it's Matticus. We're here on Say It's Lit. We're here with Neysha Lopez. Is that how you say it?
So it's Neysha.
There you go.
Like okay. Sasha.
Neysha. Okay, this is Matticus with Neysha.
There you go.
Neysha Lopez. That's embarrassing, right? I would just love to butcher people's names. They're like, are you going to have somebody on here? And then make them introduce themselves. So I tried and I failed.
It happens all the time. I think the good thing is that you asked.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens all the time. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I feel like you would have corrected me if I didn't. excuse me, actually, let me let you know how it really is. Where'd you come up with that name?
So we found this girl, and when I say we, it's...
All your personalities?
Yeah, several of them. I call him my dance dad. He's someone that I danced with like years ago when I was eight years old growing up. And when I decided to do drag... We found this girl, this pageant girl, in a cisgendered women pageant, and her name was Neysha. And they're like, "Oh my God, you look just like that." We looked up her name, and it was Neysha. And then we looked up what that meant.
Okay,
the name, and it means special. Wow. So we're like, "Oh, okay, this is cute.
I feel kind of special,
right?"
You're like, "I'm not gonna reinvent the wheel at all. I'm just gonna take her name."
Exactly.
What about the Lopez?
Lopez, it's Latino, and it's no one can fuck it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, my last name is Rodriguez, and they'll be like, Rodriguez, is it Rodriguez with a Z or an S? And it's like, no, it's Rodriguez. You know what I mean? So I wanted the easiest, most Latino last name. And then, of course, you know, there's Jennifer Lopez, and, you know, she inspires everything I do.
have you met her yet?
I have several times.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in or out of drug?
Both.
Okay.
Yes.
Like on purpose, plan?
Yeah. I worked with her. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Obviously, I need to get checked in. We were booked together. Would you guys do like a music video together? Or?
We did an award show together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which one?
I Heart Music. They had her. They gave her an Icon Award, and then I performed with her with several other drag queens. So.
Did she deserve it?
Did she deserve it? Absolutely. You know she's iconic.
She's iconic.
Yeah.
Like, but do you agree that she's still iconic after working with her?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, you know that saying that says you don't want to meet, like, your heroes or all that. Or you shouldn't, because you'll get disappointed or whatnot. And I was not disappointed, not at all.
I love that.
Yeah, and I got to meet Ben, too. So
it was
a double whammy.
That's the bonus. That's what I
wanted. It was a bonus. Yeah. Oh, that man.
Yeah. They're in, like, in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right? Is that them?
No.
Nope, messed it up. I'm probably... my goal in life, that's definitely not the... It's just my goal in life is to mess up famous people and celebrities.
So that's Brad and Angelina.
They're also really great.
Oh, my
great couple.
God, I live. They're not even together anymore.
Don't mind me. I would definitely go and like, and be like, "Hi, it's great to see you."
Yeah.
Wrong person.
Totally.
Okay, so it sounds like you have some great inspiration. You wanted to keep the Latino culture going in. Absolutely. Have you continued to do that? Like, how are you continuing to represent the Latino community?
Absolutely. I think Latino culture plays a huge role in my drag because I know how there's certain people that are like, well, this and that doesn't define who I am. But as someone who comes from Puerto Rico, we're very proud of where we come from. And it does take play a huge role as to who we are. So, you know, when you think of a Latina, you think sexy, bombshell, you think curvy, feminine, all those things. And all those things play a role.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about entertainment-wise.
Yeah.
You know? All those qualities play a factor in my drag. And then besides that, you know, not to say anyone else does not work as hard, but Latino culture and people are some of the hardest working people on the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
And I definitely like to apply that to everything that I do. I like to do everything 150% if I can, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, definitely shows. I think you look great as both as a woman and or as a man. Or as, I don't know, is it appropriate to say as woman when you're
drag?
Absolutely. Okay, because gorgeous.
You better say absolutely, woman.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, so passable. I was like, who is that?
Oh, no, we don't say passable anymore. We can't say that one anymore. Listen, it's hard to keep up. It really is hard to keep up.
Yeah.
The good thing is that when it happens, you learn and you're like, okay, now I know why I can't say that and this and that,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. But passable is not a good word to say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just like no one's really wanting to pass, right? Everyone's just trying to want to be themselves.
They want to be.
Period.
You're right.
And that can be, I embrace and love both masculine and feminine mm-hmm. energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the first girls, and you'll see in my drag when I'm in drag but not on stage, I'll wear a suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I love the power of femininity and masculine energy put together.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. So yeah. So yeah, passable. That's just
okay. No, that's great. So that actually kind of like takes me up to a whole nother segment for a second. But we talked about this in some of the other shows. As I've actually like kind of started this based on like two of my friends that are trans.
Mm-hmm.
And they had you know, some guys compliment them at the club or like, you know, that's my impression. And so like, hey, you're so beautiful. You're beautiful, like very passing, I would ever know. And they were kind of like, you know, kind of disgruntled and upset. You know, and they're like, rather than, you know, kind of like correct or reroute that person, they're like, fuck you, you know?
Absolutely.
But don't you think it would be important for us to figure out like a way to help educate, you know, like these like other, you know, allies or supporting parties on how to talk to us or how to talk to guys?
Absolutely. It's super simple. And the simplicity of it is as simple as this.
Mm-hmm.
You are handsome for a white guy.
Yeah.
That's just not right to say. You're just handsome.
Right. Yeah.
Period. That's it. Being and I'm assuming you're blonde hair, blue eyed. My Puerto Rican friends are blonde hair, blue eyed, so I can't really assume. But let's just say, you know, you're a white guy.
Yeah.
That's not something you can change. Everyone's journey being trans is different.
Absolutely.
And it is not up to you to determine whether you feel it's beautiful, where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So for someone to say, oh, you're passing or this,
mm-hmm.
well, who knows if I still want to do my nose, if I still want more cheekbone, if I want this, I want that. You just don't know where they are in their journey. Give a compliment where it's due and move on. But you know what I mean?
I think the thing where I'm getting out of here is I completely agree with you, right? And I think that people that are on the opposing side might not know the battle that you're going through, nor the way to express how they're feeling. So with this particular situation, like I asked these people, like, what was your preferred method? And they're like, well, I don't know. And that's where I got.
Oh, and see, that's a whole nother conversation that I'm glad we're even bringing it up and talking about it because...
Yeah.
I had, and I don't want to misquote, and I don't want to bring the person, I'm not sure who it was, but it was a queen, and she was saying, it's just not my job to have to educate you and tell you and da-da-da-da this and da-da-da. Now, this is where I disagree.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Now, I am not a selfish person.
Yeah.
So, if I have to educate someone and let them know that this was wrong, I did something to help you.
Right.
Because when he comes and meets you, he knows now what not and what to say, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Right.
So this person is sitting here thinking, oh, well, it's not my job to do this. You should figure it out and you should educate yourself. And okay, well, at this point right now, if you're telling me I did something wrong, well, can you tell me how to go about that? And just like you said, this person doesn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it takes a lot for me to get upset,
right,
get like angry. Not always been like that as I got older. But those things don't bother me. I will take every opportunity that I can to educate and tell someone, hey, that's appropriate. Hey, that's not. This made me feel a certain kind of way because I'm doing something not only for me, but for the next gal or guy or, you know, person, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. And just to add to that, I feel like we want to encourage everybody to do that. A lot of people that I've talked to about it, like, they're like, well, I just ignore it. You know, which is also a problem. But it's like being gay, you know, like when people are like, oh, you're going to go to the spa. Like, what's that even mean? Like, you have to explain a lot of things. You have to break things down for people.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It's not fun, but you do have to educate. But the problem that I see is like we have the, it's within our own community, there's an education gap,
right?
And so, you know, there's going to be some teaching that needs to be done. And unfortunately, it does have to be by those people that are going through these battles already. They have a lot on their plate, I agree. But these people want to be able to connect with them and show passion and appreciation. And I think it's just really important that we stay like and in a positive light and help redirect them. Just absolutely. Like I said, you said it very nicely to me, right? When I said like passing, like, hey, we're not right. using passing anymore. And that's going to correct me going forward, right?
Right.
And that, but we're not getting that further. People are being really, really upset. So we're going to lose all of our allies, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's really what it comes down to. It's like, do you really have a problem correcting someone and educating someone? And then
they mean good.
Just making them really angry yeah. when it moves on to something. You know what I mean? We yeah. don't want anything to escalate. So I think anytime anyone has the opportunity yeah. to educate someone, please go ahead and
absolutely.
Do so.
Nicely.
In the most appropriate
yeah.
and nice way. Because yeah. these people don't mean any harm. They just yeah. don't know any better. They really don't.
Yeah.
We were all there at one point, weren't we? We didn't come out of the womb knowing and right and wrong and this and that. I mean, for how long? It's like
yeah.
when you're coming out of the closet.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you yeah. thought being gay was wrong for how long? You yeah. know what I mean? So
I still do.
Yeah.
No, I would say look at someone like they're a child, like they're a baby, you know, they're unknowledgeable. They need to learn and, you know, come out of your character when you're especially in drag, because drag, you guys come hard sometimes.
Yeah. Right?
Come down on your character and talk to them like they're a child. Like, hey, and that's going to get us a little bit further.
Absolutely. I think so, too.
Okay. Well, that was a great discussion. Thanks for getting me over there. Bring that up with you. So I'm kind of curious, like talking about you know, allies and stuff like that, like how do you feel about like bridal showers and stuff coming to the gay clubs?
I enjoy all of that when it's a celebration of, you know, drag, you're celebrating whatever it is that you're celebrating, birthdays and this mm-hmm. and that, and you're like, hey, I really enjoy drag.
Yeah.
Let's do that for your bachelorette party. That's when it's fun.
Yeah.
Not when it's like a zoo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, let's look at that. Yeah. What is that? Oh my God. Did you see that? Did you mm-hmm. see this? And then it becomes like that freak show type of thing. And yes, we're here to entertain you, but you have to appreciate our form too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can get a little much. However, it all comes back to educating these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's fun. Come yeah. have a good time. We are there to entertain, to make you laugh, to offend you, to do all yeah. those things.
Yeah.
Because a drag show is an exaggeration of everything yeah. normal, right? Or
yeah.
I hate the word normal, but you know what I mean. So yeah,
I don't mind all at once.
Yeah, yeah, all of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's really interesting. I think they bring a lot of money into our community, which we should be appreciative of, and also like, you know, kind of opening the inclusivity. But like the ones that want to party and have a good time with us, it makes all the difference. Have you had any occasions where they like ruined one of your numbers or like have gotten in the way of you of a peer?
I have not. Sometimes okay. They get a little inappropriate in yeah. the sense that they like to touch. And I don't, there's, mm-hmm. mind you, you're going in the shirt, okay, whatever. But sometimes it's like, they're trying to get in my ass. I had one go like tip in my crotch. And so I
you're not
that point, I take yeah. that as a, you know, opportunity to educate. And
yeah.
and I don't do it that second
you can't.
Because
yeah.
one, you can't. Then you're going to ruin the mood.
Yeah.
Then everyone sees how bothered I got. Now everyone is in this awkward place. And again,
yeah.
I'm not a selfish person. So I'll think about me and I'll think about all of these other people. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put their needs before mine right
yeah.
now. And I will talk to this girl later
mm-hmm.
and be like, hey, I'm so happy you're having the time of your life or whatnot. But that's just not appropriate. And
yeah.
you might catch the wrong girl one day and this is backhand your ass. And then you're going to say, well, Naysha did tell me about
yeah.
that. So.
I did see a show get stopped recently that kind of went viral and they like called her out for it, you know? But I was like, that's like molestation, you know, like
totally
not acceptable. What is the acceptable way to tip a drag queen for anybody?
The worst one is this one. When you give one of the girls a tip and you pull it away, at that point I will walk away. I don't want it anymore. I don't want anything from you, actually.
Fuck you.
So I hate that one. The touching inappropriately, just think about it like this. Yes, you're giving us money, but we're not strippers.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So don't touch me in a sexual type of way. Meaning, you know, through the breast, butt, stuff like that. Unless, because girls have done this, they'll put their cleavage out, put it in there. They'll imply that this is okay.
Right. Yes.
That's a different, you know, you can go ahead and do that. But no pulling away, no touching. I used to say, if you think it's inappropriate for me to do it to you, then 9 times out of 10, it's going to be inappropriate to do it to me as well. But there's some freaky bitches out there and they might do a lot more than I do. So that really doesn't apply anymore. But those are my rules. Yeah.
Yeah. No, consensual.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. I definitely see the ones that allow you in. Yeah.
Totally.
But very different. But they definitely come out there. I think even gay guys do it too, or they try to pretend like you're like a giraffe or something. And that's crazy. I'm like, look, they're coming to get this little lettuce over here.
It's the worst. I hate that. I'm telling you, when they do it, I'm done. I walk away. Yeah. I don't come back. I'm over it. Yeah.
Or they're mad at you because you don't stop your number to come get their... I was like, it's choreographed this.
Right.
You
know? Yeah,
like,
totally.
Chill, girl.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to you. All right? This is not your date. It is mine. Okay. Perfect. All right. Let's go into some drag stuff about you. So I'm kind of curious. I'm sure you've answered this a million times. Mm-hmm. But why did you really get into drag? What's the real story? Was it for the money?
No, it was not for the money. Not at all. No money. Look, like any art, any form of art.
Yeah.
In the beginning, there is never any money. You're gonna be broke as hell. You know, we were working for $30-$40, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then whatever you made in tips and stuff. Sometimes you just worked four tips.
Mm-hmm.
You worked a tip spot. So money was not it. But the entertainment world is a lot more inclusive right now with all types of body types, ethnicities, not where we need to be. There needs to be way more diversity, but it was worse. And I always thought, I'm like, I want to be an actor. I want to work in entertainment. I was a dancer. And I'm like, what can I do? If I can't act, what can I do that I can express myself the way that I am? I'm petite. I have feminine tendencies. I love hair. I love makeup. And then I found drag.
Yeah.
I was a dancer. Someone told me to do an amateur contest. I won it. And then from then, it just kind of stuck. I love drag. I mean, it's like, it doesn't define me, but it's a huge part of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What are the original photos of you doing drag? They're really hard to find. Did you purge them?
Those no longer exist.
I'm like, what's going on? I can't find any.
Listen, I will tell you how to find them, actually. Yeah. I'm going to tell you. If you put Naisha Lopez MySpace.
Oh, shit.
Those photos are actually still out there in the universe.
And you lost your password, so you can't take
them. Right, no. And so they're still out there. But listen, I'm like any other drag queen, booger drag. Yeah. When you start, you don't know what your, what is it? Your, what do you call it? Your aesthetic, what your drag aesthetic is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, am I going to be funny? Am I going to be a beauty queen? Am I going to be this, that? You know what I mean? You're kind of lost. You're trying to figure that out. And, bitch, I was a booger queen. It took me a minute to figure it out.
What year did you start?
I started when I was 16.
16?
So that was in 2000. Okay. Right? Is that 2000, I think it was?
Would you use the math?
Yeah. I think that was in about, 1999, 2000, something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Were you able to perform in clubs at that age?
I was. That's how you got into the club.
Oh.
Yeah. At that age of being under 21. You got in drag and you showed anyone, any any guy's ID.
Yeah. Oh,
they're
true,
like,
true.
Do you know what I'm saying? You're like full drag and you're like,
this is after they had paper IDs? They had pictures on them now?
I'm not that old. You know, shit. No, but yeah, that's how you got in the club. So I was 16 doing drag going to
the club. There's a real reason. You're like, I actually started doing drag so I can get in the bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
That's what it really is. And so did you have another job when you started drag or were you in school?
Yeah. So I was in school. When I first started, I was still in high school when I started. And then, like every drag queen, I worked at MAC Cosmetics, a makeup artist.
Yes.
Then I went to cosmetology school, got my license.
How much makeup did you steal?
At never. You didn't have to. They gave you so much free makeup. Okay. Yeah. It's called gratis.
Yes.
It's called gratis. MAC would give you so much free makeup. It was ridiculous.
That's why my friends are caked up when I see them.
All of it.
There. Like,
all of it. The only thing you had to pay for was foundation.
Fuck that. I don't have to go to RuPaul. Yeah. I don't look at Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was all free. Anytime a new line came out, you got like half of it.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like really cool. You just had so much of it. It would pile up. So there was no need to steal.
But you would.
No. Wrong drag queen move. Wrong one.
It's just curious.
No, but yeah, and then I worked for MAC, and then I went to cosmetology school and
specializing in what?
In hair.
Hair, okay.
Yeah.
What happened to your hair?
I got older.
You're like, hey, experimented on myself.
Yeah.
And
there too much.
I was platinum for like 5 years. I really was. So well,
this is the result, kids. Don't do it.
No, but yeah, they got me, gal. Age, time. I'm dead. Oh, platinum will do that to you.
It will. It totally will.
That's funny. Well, it's probably easier to get the wigs on and off now, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have to wear like the little net still? Or
No, I do. I don't do any of that stuff. I just glue. I just glue down. Yeah, I just glue down because
you should have to cover it up.
90%. Yeah. 95% of my wigs are human wigs, so everything is like glued down.
Okay.
I don't wear the plastic. Sorry. those are a little heavier.
Are you using like the Home Depot spray or like?
Oh my god, have you seen that? That Gorilla spray? I would never. Some of the girls use that spray for something else, but they do have the Gorilla. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It is insane. Like they put it on their skin.
I know.
I would never.
Doesn't burn you? Like
I would think. Yeah. It did, but this girl wore it on her head and it didn't burn, and she just kept piling it up. Insane.
The one that had the lawsuit?
Like, the one that she had a slick ponytail and you could like knock on it, but you couldn't get it out. It was insanity. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, that's on you if that's what you're into. I guess. All right, yeah. So you mentioned taping for a second. Well, how do you do your tapes?
My tape. Shout out to. Her name is Whitney Gaitan. She's from Puerto Rico, but she lives in Wisconsin. But I met her in Chicago when I lived there. And we worked together. And she would wear, when I talk about a pasty, the pasty was like the tiniest thing in the world. And then there was no pasty in the back. Her ass would just be bare. And you're like, where the fuck? Are you kidding me? Like, and she's like,
gosh,
I'll teach you. And she's the one that taught me how to tape. And then Kimora Black.
Yeah. She's here, right?
She's here. Yeah. She lives.
She's got a great closet.
Yeah. She lives here. She introduced me to a different type of tape because I used to use duct tape like back in the day, which I mean, it'd get you nice and
tough. You got some Gugon down.
Yeah, you got to use the Gugon to get all that shit off. It was horrible. But she introduced me to this new tape, and the thing was, the fucked up part about duct tape, if you had to pee and you took it off, you had to do it all over again.
Yeah.
And you're fucked. You're like, you're just, for lack of a better word, raw. Like, it's just like the skin is a mess, right? So this tape that Kimora introduced me to, which also Willem uses the same one, I believe.
Put everybody out.
Yeah. We all use the same one. It actually will stick back on.
Oh.
Like, you'll be able to take it off, use the bathroom, and slap it back on, and it would still have...
And it doesn't take a piece of you away.
No, and it does not. Mm-hmm. And so, that's the tape that I use, and Whitney Gaitan taught me. So, yeah.
We gotta get a video of your tape. get up in there. I didn't know there was like a little pocket you can stuff everything up.
Oh my God, yes. Did you not know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's two pockets. Yeah. One for the right nut and one for your left nut.
I had no idea. And it was Trinity the tuck that actually told me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's her video. And she's like, yeah, you're just pushing back up there. She's like, have you ever like nutted before? And like, you see your ball goes away? I was like, yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it goes in your body, literally.
Because I've tried to wear like girls' underwear and the ball's popping out on both sides.
Yeah, have you, well, look at this. Have you ever seen, this is so horrible, but have you ever seen a drag queen that doesn't wear padding, right? And it's like, and they're taped and stuff, and they have their like costume on, and they look kind of nutty. Like you see the two, it's because they have huge balls and they go in those pockets and then they create that. We call them ovaries, but
those are the lips.
Yeah. No, my God, it's like in their tummy. It's just crazy. It's insane. I know, it's crazy. Now I know. Now don't go looking at everyone's crotch.
We were already.
Yeah.
We're always checking
like
the tops.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I come out,
that's like, man. Yeah.
You're at a drag show, babe.
Yeah.
I could see. That's hilarious. Okay, so who was your inspiration coming into drag?
So I was raised by, all women, like my mom, like dad wasn't around. It was like my mom, aunts, cousins, sisters, everyone was like women. Mm-hmm. And so strong women.
Yeah.
So
like a Catholic church.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. we were raised Catholic.
Okay.
totally. And my grandmother raised a lot of my aunts and uncles mm-hmm. by herself. She was like feminine, but like short hair and like tough and like rode a horse and like very mm-hmm. that. And so for me, strength and power and just all that does not come from masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it comes from feminine demeanor because it was women around me.
The chancla.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Yes. You know about the chancla. Which I got. No one knows
how to. Like the shuba?
No one knows how to throw a chancla like a Puerto Rican woman or a just Latina woman in general. They just really know how to get to it. But yeah, so the women in my life are the people who have really inspired my drag. Yeah,
that's great.
Totally.
You share that with so many people. Everyone's like, this one person.
Yeah. No, it's.
So who's your favorite drag queen now, outside of yourself? I love you.
Favorite drag queen.
Yeah.
See, there's just so many for different reasons.
Now, like political answers, but you got to pick one.
No, there's no way I can just pick one. Because, okay, so for me, like, feminine, most beautiful, goddess-like, and all of that, that's like Mimi Marks, Candace Kane, like, my sisters, my continental sisters. And then, like, performance and just goddess that way, and it's like a Sasha Colby.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
And then you have, like, the, we call it, like, the faggotry. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a subject in school, like geometry. You know what I mean? So no one get upset. It's not that serious. But that serves that gay, just like, and lets you have it. Someone like Anitra does that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone like Kennedy Davenport, a performance level that, I mean, when she's on stage, it's just everything. Yeah, queens like that. We brought up Trinity. I love Trinity. You know, all that body and it's just like for all different reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so there's no way that I could ever just choose one. And anyone that just says they choose one, you're living in a hole or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have tunnel vision. Yeah. You know, I enjoy all.
I love you fighting me back.
Yeah.
You claim as many sisters and mothers as you want to.
Yeah.
But just to let you know, if you didn't hear your name,
oh my God, that's so shady.
That sucks. Yeah, and I hope when you're driving home today and you're like, fuck.
You're like, I forgot.
I'm trying to think. I'm like,
too late.
Who's going to do that?
I'm going to get a call. Like, they're going to be like, bitch, you did not say my name.
Yeah, Trixie's going to be like, fuck you.
No, I love Trixie. Fuck, damn it. I knew it.
She's like, doesn't sound like it. Okay, so you moved from Chicago, right?
Yes.
To LA. How long ago?
In January will be 2 years.
Yeah, why?
Because a few reasons. The weather, I'm over it. I can't deal with Chicago weather anymore. I just can't do it. As you get older, quality of life becomes way more important to you, your surroundings, your environment, and that includes weather, people, everything.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get out of Chicago. It's just like,
yeah. Did you have a breakup or something?
What's the real tea, babe? I did not have a breakup. I didn't. I wasn't running away from anything. Mm-hmm. It's something.
I've slept with the whole
city. It's something.
My grinder doesn't
work. No, there were a couple left, but whatever. No, I was just over it. I really was over it. Chicago is still my favorite city in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
You know, I have my family there.
To visit.
To visit, exactly. I have my family there, my work family at Roscoe's, and my mom and my sister are there. So I still love it.
Right.
But I just can't do the cold anymore. Mm-hmm. I just can't. I really can't. And I moved here because of the opportunities that I have. I've been given a whole lot of opportunities that had I not been living here, I would not have gotten.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I hear there's some exciting things happening for you that we can talk about.
Yes.
I'm excited for you.
Yes. Yes. I'm super
That's
excited.
Awesome. So I'm glad you made it here to LA. I need to make the move myself.
Thanks. Yes. Come back.
So, okay. So how's it been coming up into fame? I'm curious. And did you lose any friends? Did you lose any like close family members? Like, because I think it's a personally, it's kind of a lonely life, isn't it? You got to give up a lot. Like, tell us about that.
Totally. I won't say that I lost any, actually, now that you put it, I'm like, I haven't spoken to her in a while. No. no.
What's up?
I'm like, wait a minute. No. Yes, there's relationships that have kind of taken a strain, I guess you can say, that it's just they're not the same.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there has to be growth between the two of us. And if I grow and go this way and you grow and go that way, that's okay. That's really okay. You know what I mean? And as long as I know I understand that, hopefully other people do as well. But I don't know that I've lost many relationships, but I have made my circle a little smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have people like tried to like ask you for things like out of like pocket and you're like, wait, what? You're using me. Can you tell the difference?
That's happened before in the dating world where, especially when other queens or gay boys want to be queens and then they're like,
oh,
that's happened before.
Yeah.
And that comes from the Drag Race gig, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, show me how to do my makeup, or oh my god, that looks so cool, can I try it on? You're like, the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm not sure that I'm down with that. No, I know I'm not down with that. But I don't, nothing else outside of that.
So funny enough, you said you moved 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And you have a boyfriend, right?
I do.
How long you guys been together?
What is it? May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So it'll be, is that right? It'll be 8 months. So
not the finger counting.
Yeah, it's a count.
Child. I was like, wait, you had a boyfriend like right after you moved here, right?
I did. I dated someone. Like, I was probably here about 7 to 8 months, and then I started like dating someone exclusively.
Yeah. Well, how'd you meet?
this one, actually. We actually met online on Grindr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, we met on Grindr, and then we went out and like had like dinner and stuff, and then we just like started dating. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it was cute.
Okay.
Yeah, it was...
maybe like too far, but like when you're like thinking of trying to date somebody, like how long do you wait to have sex with somebody?
Well, we had already...
Okay. Yeah. See, I know when you told me, like, I met on Grindr and we went to dinner.
Okay, but listen.
Why are you going to lie to me right here?
I didn't lie to you because this is the thing. We all know that the gays do sex first, and if it's sickening, then you invite them out to dinner, and then you start getting to know them. That's not a new thing. Yeah. You know this.
But that's not the story you told.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was just saying we met on Grindr, which is kind of a given.
At 3 a.m. in the
morning. We met, we hooked up, whatever. And then we went out and we decided, like, hey, let's hang out. And we did. And then we started dating for a while.
Yeah. So just so I can judge you for the rest of the show here, are you top, bottom, verse?
I am. I, I'm at that age where those labels no longer exist.
You just want to be loved.
Yeah.
And, you'll do that, right?
And I just want to give love. But yeah, no, I'm 100% versatile. 100%.
You figured it out. What were you at first, though? What was before?
Top.
Yeah?
Strict. Yes. Yeah. And it took me having to fall in love to actually bottom for the first time.
It takes a lot, right? And then, like, I feel like people are like, yeah, I'll try it, and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you got to keep giving it more shots.
Well, yes. And also, it's at least for me, when the first time I topped, you're okay to like top, right?
Yeah.
For me to bottom, I had to have an emotional connection to this person. Like, I had to like this person. So think about it. If you have an emotional connection to someone, you're a little bit more prone, and or you're a little bit more receptive to that pain, saying, okay, let me see, is this going to get better? Is this going to get better? If it's a hookup, the second it hurts, you're like, get the fuck off me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I want to agree with you, but the thing is, like, that's not true. Maybe for us. Because, like, I'm demisexual, so, like, I have to have a connection.
Yeah.
But people, like, rooms unlock, blah, blah, blah. Or you got, like, these, like,
right,
just turned 18, I hope.
Right.
You know, and they're, like, just getting railed out.
Oh, no.
I'm like, how do you just figure out you're a bottom that bad?
How?
Like, their first one, they're like, I've never taught before. I'm a bottom. I'm like, what?
Well, see, and then that tells me that it's like, well, then you're not a bottom because you're not like that. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't like that. Yeah. I could never. It took me a while before I could.
Yeah.
And yeah, there had to be a connection.
My old partner, we were together for like a year. He's like, if you don't bottom for me, we're going to break up. And I'm like, I got to figure this out. I was like on the internet. I was like, how do you bottom? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, can't get past the pain. Like, well, I figured it out. And I was like, oh, well, it's not that bad after all.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that bad. Now I can do both. Look at that. You converted me through threats. So RuPaul, right? You're on the show. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Yeah. You've appeared a couple of times?
A little bit.
They like, not only you're on season 8 regular and then season 8 All-Stars, right?
Correct.
Right. And then they're like, okay, you got Sin Ho.
Again.
I don't mean to laugh. But then they're like, okay, we're going to bring her back again.
Totally. Out of the regular season, they're like, I mean,
So tell us, what was your experience? Like, what was that like?
You know, the first time I was there, it literally was a different time. We're talking about season 8, and there's been 8 seasons filmed after that. 16 starts in January.
Confusing, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a long time ago, and back then, they didn't give you any money. You had to come up with your own shit and do it, whatever.
Yeah.
That's
like, you have to, not only showing up at your outfits and everything, right?
Right.
Get rid of your regular
job. And the list was a little different. Like, now, they're still specific. They're just like, this is the category. It needs to have this.
Really?
You know, it's almost like a ball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it calls for this. And back then, it was very vague. It was like, just put a rock and roll type of look together, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're like, you're in a band, and you're this, and you're that, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Now, how do we make this cohesive? Yeah. Like, it's a whole thing. But anyway, it was a different time. When I got eliminated first episode on season 8, and I was just heartbroken.
Was that planned?
the way I think about it is... think about it like this. When Sasha Colby got on her season, everyone was talking about Miss Continental, right? And the show made it a big deal. Everyone was like, oh my God, Miss Continental. And I think that they wanted that for season 8.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to be like, Miss Continental, because I was expected to do so well. And I think they wanted to set a tone for the show and say, look, we have one of the most accomplished queens out there right now. She just won Miss Continental last year. Boom, she went home first. So now everyone's like, everyone wants to watch.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I mean, do I know how to sew? Was my costume, you know, or my look great? No, but there were some that were a lot worse than mine.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
I believe in the producer conspiracy.
Oh no, totally. Yeah. And I mean, if you work in television or anything like that, if you think about it, you know, it makes sense. But the cool thing was, I did it. I went home. I was heartbroken. I literally walked in the door. I was getting drunk with my mom, drinking a whole bunch of wine. She's like, it's okay. It's going to be fine. And then I get a phone call and it's them. And they're like, mm-hmm. hey, can you come back? And I'm like, no, no. They said, would you come back? And
yeah.
I'm like, I mean, I guess. What's
is
going
this,
on?
All stars or?
This is regular season.
Okay.
This is regular season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure, I'll come back. Mm-hmm. And then she had two contestants lip sync and it was very not very anticlimactic. Is that how you say? Like, no, it sucked. Basically,
they're like, we're gonna fuck you twice,
and they're like, we're pretty much like, we're gonna bring you back because this lip sync sucked.
Mm-hmm.
She got really mad at the girls and was like, I just sent someone home,
mm-hmm.
Who's great, and you guys gave me this.
Yeah,
this is horrible. So then they came up with this whole production thing, and once they got the okay for me that I was coming back, they worked it into the episode and they brought me right back.
Yeah.
And then I did two more episodes, and it's always easier to send the girl that's already been home.
Was everybody shocked? Like, did they keep you somewhere else? Or?
Yes, they did. Okay. So we were all on set.
So that's all real.
Yeah, like, no, that.
What the
fuck? They had no idea.
Yeah.
They had no idea. The only
were person... anyone's face about it? You're like, bitch.
No. That's not my character. I'm not really like that. But you know who I was kind of like that with? So they come to get me, right? All the girls are gone. They're on set, and then they're going to come get me to take me to set, right? Because they don't want anyone to see me.
Yeah.
And we pass by Layla's room.
Oh, yeah.
Who just got eliminated. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Man.
And I'm like, bitch, they call me back. But it was very that way. Like, I'm like, bitch, I'm back.
Yeah. You probably gave her hope, and they didn't bring her
back. Yeah, whatever. She's an Emmy-winning makeup artist. She's good. She's perfectly fine. Who cares?
So, like, maybe they'll bring me back. No, baby.
No.
Just me. Sorry.
Stick to makeup. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love you, Layla. She's painted my face. I love her.
Oh, she's gonna be here in a minute. No, actually, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
RuPaul,
she's your next guest. I love me some.
Okay. So that was, you know, the originals. And they brought you back like a decade later, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. 8 years later.
They're like, are you still doing drag?
Yeah.
Do you want to come back?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. You know, I have a little show on YouTube, you know, with Roscoe's. I talk a lot of shit on there. And by shit, by shit, I mean the truth.
Yeah.
Expose. A whole lot of people. Anyway, so I'm constantly on their radar. They know exactly what I'm doing and whatnot. And so they just called me and were like, hey, would you be interested in doing All Stars? Is this something you would do? Because I haven't heard you say that you would actually do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, totally. If the opportunity presents itself, totally. And I remember I was on a plane from Puerto Rico to Miami. I landed in Miami and then I had a voicemail and they're like, call me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I call them back and they're like, okay, so we are sending you over the contract. And I'm like, wait, hold on. I'm like, yeah, you're on. I'm like, oh my God. So then I'm like, okay, so what's the date? And then I was leaving 2 weeks later.
Jeez.
So I got ready in 2 weeks. It was absolutely insane. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, couldn't contact your designers or anything? Like,
it was a tough one, mm-hmm. but kudos to the designers I worked with. Yeah. Cause they got it together.
Didn't even get to show all your looks.
No, I did. We did. Okay. This, yeah, no. For All Stars, I got to show everything.
Okay.
Which is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, that would suck.
Yeah.
So wait, so you didn't get paid like first season that you did, and then All Stars you did. Like, are you allowed to talk about that at all?
Yeah. So regular season, you did get paid mm-hmm. per episode, okay. but you didn't get a wardrobe stipend.
Mm-hmm.
You had to pay for all your things on your own. For All Stars, you did get a stipend. And what you got paid a day, you know, for each episode was a lot more than what you were getting paid for a regular season.
Because it's like $1,000 a week for a regular season, right? No?
For regular season, I really can't.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I can't. Back then, it was
make
five.
It up. No, I'm just kidding.
Back then was $500.
Yeah.
I would assume that it went up. But I do remember like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Carrie Colby? I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it. But I think it was Carrie that might have told me. She's like, no, it's still $500.
Yeah.
Someone a couple years ago was still like, hey, it's still $500. I'm like, oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah.
But for all stars, it's not. It's a lot more than that. Yeah.
I don't know how you don't quote somebody that says it directly, but I know, like, don't quote me.
You said it, bitch.
I know. But, like, don't repeat it.
I won't.
We'll just publish that everywhere. That's gonna be the snippet.
Okay,
right,
but
there.
But it has to say, I think this person said.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. Okay, so we know that, like, outfits, like, if for regular drag performers and RuPaul are very expensive. Like, how much were you spending on your outfits?
I mean, it varies. And what it is, too, is, like, it starts to add up, right? Because you get things done, you pay the designer, you're buying fabrics, you're buying tights and undergarments and rhinestones and accessories and then shoes, and it adds up. It adds up to, like, a whole lot of money.
Are you bad at math, or, like, you do not
know? I'm not. Oh, how much I spent?
Yeah.
Close to $40,000.
$40,000?
Yes.
For just the last season?
Yes.
Wow. Jesus.
Well, you have to think there's like 12 different runway looks.
Mm-hmm.
All the wigs.
Yeah.
My wigs are human units. The shoes. It keeps adding up. Plus, you have to bring like miscellaneous drag. So you have to bring looks for like little mini challenges and stuff like that. And all that starts to add up. Even though they have like nails and hairspray and makeup and all that stuff there, you're kind of used to using your own like certain products and certain things. So of course you bring all of that with you and stuff like that. And then you don't bring one pair of tights, you know, you bring 10, you know, you're there for 6 weeks. So now, you know, so it really does.
I think we're three per show. Like, you know,
I don't, because I wear my own body. No, I've known girls that wear like 10 to 12 stockings with padding on.
Mm-hmm.
I wear one. I wear one pair of fishnets. Oh, that's it.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, this is on me, baby.
That's it. Well, at least, listen, I'm not as lucky as Trinity. Trinity just paints her body, tucks, and calls it a day.
I mean,
I used to do that.
You can do it.
Yeah, hello.
That's hilarious. So you said you use, you know, human hair, wigs.
Yeah.
Do you get to, like, meet the girls that they come from? Like,
I don't think that's how it works, but no, I do not meet any of them.
This one.
I'm like looking around. I'm like,
that's the girl.
What's this, yours?
Yeah, me. I was always curious, like, you know, kind of like when you go in and pick out a steak, or you pick out that one, that fish right there.
That one right there.
That wig. That hair.
No, it doesn't really work that way, but my hair guy, Full Fantasy Wigs on Instagram. Follow him. He's great. He does all my custom color and custom wigs. He's amazing. I've been working with him for the last few years. And he's good.
Yeah. I mean, he makes you look real fish. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that still allowed? Can we say
no.
Fish? Also passing.
Yeah. Can't see that anymore.
Can't say anything. He's like, thank you. Talk about the silence. Thanks.
I'm telling you, it's not easy to keep up. It's not easy.
You know, I'm just not going to talk to anybody anymore.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Like, hey.
Fuck giving everybody compliments. You know, I don't say hi to people in the elevator anymore. They're like, what? Hello? Who do you think I am? It's like, I'm like, what?
Just don't want to upset anyone.
Good morning. I'm not having a good morning. Okay, whatever. Like, gosh. Like, then why don't you meet your neighbors? You know why. Why are you knocking on my door? Okay. So, but did you expect to get cut so soon, or?
Okay, so no, you go there with the hope, right? And you're just like, no, I'm really hoping that I can make it, you know, because people will tell you, well, if you know what the show's about, then why do you do it? And the reality is, you're going to make more money afterward, period,
for
regardless.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, being on the show, you just don't know where it's going to go. So you hope that you can change the narrative. You go with that, you know, in mind. But then you start seeing certain things happen and go certain kind of ways. And then you're like, okay, that's the way they're going. Okay, I'm seeing it. All right. And yeah, so then, I mean, I had a feeling. One of the story producers came up to me and was like, hey, can you talk to her? Like, talk a little more. I need you to, like, talk a lot. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And then it's because they're like, well, we need you now because we're not gonna have you later, you know what I mean? It's very it was like, and I'm like, oh, okay, so that's why you want me to. So you start to pick up on little things that they do, They say
that boldly?
Sometimes... Oh, no. They won't say it. You just figure it out. But sometimes they say certain things because they forget, you know, that it's a production and we're not in on the production.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... they have to be very careful and selective of how they talk to us. And sometimes they just say certain things that you're like, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
They'd be lying a lot. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I don't know anything.
Oh.
Get you in the car. Like, I'm sorry, baby. You know, it's a part of the job.
Candy Muse was the best one catching them in a whole lot of stuff.
Really? Yeah. Did you call them out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There are times she threatened to leave the set. She's like, I'm leaving. If you don't change that back to what it was supposed to be, I'm leaving.
Like what? Can you say?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it before. It was just like a certain song that they had changed to favor someone else. And she's like, you know.
It's going to fuck her up.
Yeah, and so she's like, no, if you're going to change that now, get my phone. I'm going home. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm done. And like she even said, like, if you're going to fucking play that game, at least try to do it discreetly. But like, I just caught you. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listen, they're people too. And they make mistakes. And so... you know, there's a couple mistakes.
Make them hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
You fired that producer, I'm leaving. They're like, God. It's hard to keep a job out there.
Well, hello.
What are they going through, like, producers and assistants? And
actually, All-Stars, this season, they actually hired story producers from prior seasons. Oh. Like, I know they had... done some changes and stuff. And some people, they brought some people on that hadn't worked on the show in a few years.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, they have little changes like that. Like I know there's certain people that work on All Stars and that work on regular season. And there's people that work regular season that are not allowed to work on All Stars because the girls don't want to work with them. And I'm sure I'm sure they'll see it and then their feelings will be hurt.
You know who you are.
Yeah, she doesn't even really like me, but it's.
You say they, it's one person.
I know. And she knows who she is. Anyway, there's just some certain people that. Because once you've worked with them on the regular season and you get their gig, you don't want to work with them again. And then when you're on All Stars, you're like, I'm not working with them. So they just started to hire like new.
It's like in your contract, like that bitch can't be here.
You do have a little bit more. You do have a little bit more in All Stars. Like you could, you know, when I got the contract, they're like, have your lawyer look at it and then send it to us. The first one, we didn't. That was not an option. They're like, sign it or get lost.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah.
A little bit more power.
Now. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Were you able to like fight to get the bathrooms closer or do you have no power there?
No, they're still outside. There was one bathroom that was like, but then they were like, oh, the toilet doesn't work. There's some plumbing issue. And so we still had to go outside.
That's a judge's bathroom, right?
I don't know. I think it's the...
It's a nicer one,
the sound engineers and the cameramen.
Yeah.
And I think it's their bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is as a cameraman, and if you have to use a bathroom, you have to use a bathroom, right?
Right.
But if we're taping, you need to be able to run in there and run out, and no one needs to be in there.
Yeah.
And if there's some queen in there, same thing with the sound engineer. If he needs to run in there, he needs to be able to run in and out. And if I'm in there, twiddling my thumbs, taking off my tape... off my face. Mm-hmm. I'm occupying that bathroom for a very long time. And I think that's really what it was. That's the only reason that makes sense to me because we were flushing that motherfucker and turning on the water and we're like, this bitch works. Like,
nothing wrong in here.
Ain't nothing wrong in here. Yeah, totally.
Were you allowed to have like your phones during the season?
You are not. You are not allowed
to. Okay. I'd be recording. I'm like, bitch.
Yeah. You know what we would do is we'll tell the PAs. We would tell the production assistant.
Really?
We'd be like, take a picture of me in this really quick. And then after everything is done, they can send it to you.
Okay.
So we would do like little things like that. But we also don't really put those out there because we don't want to get them in trouble.
Right.
Because there's some of them that have worked on the last six seasons. So we don't want to get them in trouble either. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they're out anyway. Because you're like, when I'm coming back, you're done.
Yeah.
So the bathrooms outside are like, are they nice? Are they like porta potties?
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. They're porta potties, but they're like air conditioned. They're not, I wouldn't say they're super far. They're just outside the building. They're like right outside the building.
Yeah.
Like, so you got to get offset.
I'm thinking soundstage, that's huge.
Right.
Yeah.
But the soundstage where Drag Race, the actual workroom is, you walk off and there's like a hall and then there's a door right there that leads right outside.
Okay.
And then that's where they have the porta potties. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like the trailer ones or something.
Yeah. The trailer ones with the air conditioning. Gotcha. And they're nice. They're not bad at all.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you how do you feel about the judges on this last season?
I'm great with the judges at this point. I think at this point they've been doing it long enough that they should know, you know, what's good, what's bad, what's this, what's that, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they say things that are kind of like, it's just stupid, and then it shows that they don't know shit sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they've been doing it long enough that I'm okay with it right now.
Yeah,
like whatever.
And you're gonna just like keeping your mouth closed, or like you're afraid because they're gonna get you, right? If you like talk some shit back.
Totally. I have
clap back. I'm like, fuck.
I be in my shower talking back all the time. I'll go through a whole fictional fight in my shower, raise my hands up and everything, and I'm like in Michelle's face, and she's like, fuck you. And I'm like, no, fuck you. And like, we're going at it. And then I backhand, you know, Ross, and, mm-hmm. you know, it gets that way in my shower.
Yeah.
But there.
Who was in there with you?
You're just.
That poor guy with grinding.
No one. Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah.
I was going into this.
It only happens in the shower. In person, you know, at least for me, I'm like, what's the point? I could. This ain't going to make the edit. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, or it could. And then I just get painted to be like, just a really bad person.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do
that.
Could be
a meme or something.
Yeah. You know? I mean, could
I'm
be.
Like, I'm like, damn, what happens to you when you get wet?
Yeah.
It goes fucking crazy. All right. So you loved the judges, it sounds like.
Yeah, they're cool. I mean, I'm.
What was your favorite celebrity judge?
My favorite celebrity
guest judge.
Faith Evans, mm-hmm. was cute because she enjoyed everything. We did this Empire episode, so it was like an acting challenge, and she just thought everything was hilarious, mm-hmm. and she was just so cute. I really liked her. We had a couple characters from SNL, and they were great because when we had that one-on-one with them, you know, we talk about acting and method acting and what they do, you know, to prepare for SNL and stuff like that, which I thought was really cool because of my interest in acting. Mm-hmm. I never say her name right, but Idina Menzel, is that how you say it?
I'm not going to say it for you. I don't know.
You don't want to help me?
You're not taking me down with you.
I think it's Idina Menzel. She's from, you know, the one that sings from Frozen. She was in Rent.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to butcher her.
Okay.
Share with you.
Well, Miss Menzel.
Yeah, Menzel.
There we go. Yeah. That works, right?
Thanks, Lopez.
She's cute. She was fun. She was super sweet. But yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cute. Was there any tea on the show that you haven't told anybody else yet that you've just been remembering?
No, you can go to Roscoe's YouTube channel.
Fuck Roscoe's YouTube channel.
No, that
I get exclusive. Basic.
Let's see. What can I give you exclusively? That I have not talked about. Let me see. Yeah, I talk a lot of shit at my gig. I can't think of anything that I have not talked about.
It's okay. Nobody's watching Roscoe's anyways.
Yeah.
It's kind of new.
Let me see. Okay, I'll give you this tea. I did talk about this, but you didn't hear about it, obviously, because you were like, you didn't know. But, you know, we actually all showed our looks. We did a separate competition from the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually all got to do our runway looks. The problem with that was we had to, like, cram looks all in, like, one day or 2 days or 4 days.
How?
You know, like,
yeah.
So you would, like, go get ready, do a look, and then you would go back to a trailer, and then you would have to sit there and wait because they were using the main stage,
mm-hmm.
and then they would finish, and then they're like, okay, we got a camera operator for 20 minutes, go. And then you would have to run to the main stage, do the runway, and then go back. And then if you had a third look that day, you can try and do a third one that day. So it was a lot. And Monica and I, we missed a ball, and the ball mm-hmm. challenge had three different looks. So we had to do all of those. So there was like no time for like makeup changes.
Yeah.
Or like it was really, really challenging. I I did get in a room full of producers because I was very upset that we were eliminating people because last season of All Stars, there were no eliminations.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them know exactly how I feel or how I felt at the time. And I told them I would not be participating in the, it was called Fame Game, in the mm-hmm. Fame Game, that I would not be participating.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me why and whatnot. I basically told them, you were exploiting the girls. You're mm-hmm. trying to get us to do something and not get us paid, because that's really what you want. You want to see all my looks on the runway that I spent money on, but you don't want to pay me for it.
Yeah.
So unless you're going to pay me and all these girls for this, I'm not going to do it.
Very.
And I'm sure that none of these other girls are going to do it. And, you know, and the conversation went on for quite some time. And they came back and said, okay, we will pay. And so I got the entire cast paid.
Look at you. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought they were going to be like, fuck you, bitch.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Yeah. It's simple to do that.
It's getting spicy though.
It's simple to do that. It's simple to be like, no, well then fuck off and go home and don't do it. Right.
Yeah.
But they, when they come up with certain things, they fail to do, they fail to be on the receiving end of it and think, well, how are they going to feel about doing this? I promise you, they never ask themselves, how are these queens going to feel doing this?
Yeah.
Because they make us do some crazy shit. And I always say, who came up with this? And what?
like, bitch. But you can't work and you're not allowed to do anything, right? What's it like? Because they tell you can't perform for a minute, right? Or can't talk about it, or how's that work?
So you can't talk about the fact that you were on the show.
Yeah.
Up until it's released. The cast is released. And then they don't want you to work about a good, like, maybe 3 to 4 weeks after you got back.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want it to be so obvious that you just got back.
Right.
So it's just, there's shit like that, that it's like, okay, so you know what needs to be at the end of that sentence is you handing me a check for those 3-4 weeks that you don't want me to work.
Yeah,
because it's real simple to tell me you don't want me to work, but I'll stay home. That's fine. But I need a check for that, because if not, I need to work.
Yeah.
The world does not stop spinning. You know what I mean? I still got to pay my bills. I still got to do this, and I'm doing this to benefit you.
Yeah.
So it's just things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And RuPaul will be making money.
But it's not even RuPaul. It's the franchise. Right?
Yeah. It's huge.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the franchise, mm-hmm. one of the biggest factor of that franchise is your cast.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be getting a piece of that pie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So now that we have you heated, right, we're getting you all expressive and excited about
my PTSD.
Let's talk about unionizing.
Yeah,
right?
Let's talk about it.
Okay. So you had mentioned when I reached out to you that you were working on some unionizing, particularly for California, talking about things such as like fair pay, lack of industry for PTO, sick time, insurance, and so forth. What kind of mission are you on? What are you doing with this unionizing thing?
So right now, what it's very early stages. Right now, it's talking to different venues, different queens, and drag entertainers, and what their needs are, what's lacking, what are their worst experiences within, you know, their artistry, their performing. What have been the worst experiences, and what would make it better?
Right.
You know, you have people that have been, and just for optics and so people understand, let's just use Drag Race as an example, right? Okay. Everyone on that show is unionized, from the camera people, the actors, the hosts, everyone is, except the drag queens.
Yeah.
We are not protected.
Mm-hmm.
You've had people go on the show and got hurt. You have people that Cornbread hurt her ankle. You had Eureka hurt her knee.
Right.
There was nothing done for
really?
Them. They didn't get a paycheck and say, or sent to
no disability.
No, none of things like that. Like, I'm not able to work because I was here. Like certain things like that.
Right.
And we're just using Drag Race as an example because it's just the obvious and easy thing to do. You know, it's super clear. How is everyone there unionized and taken care of, and we're not. You know what I mean? Now, there's certain times I'm there's medics on set and stuff like that, and you know, in that sense, you know, that's great. But we're talking about during, and then we're talking about after. We're talking about everyday work and stuff like that. But like I said, right now we're in the early stages, still figuring out what it is. And the problems are that we are not protected. Insurance is very difficult to pay for based on the money that drag queens make. Yet they're working 7 days a week or doing anywhere from 5 to 7 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
People making lots of money off of drag queens.
Yeah.
Such as, promoters and clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
PTO, there's no such thing. If we don't work, there's no money coming in. That's it. You know, if we're sick, you still have to go show up and go to work.
Yeah.
If you have a venue cancel on you, if it's not a drag race thing where, you know, they gave a deposit, then you just don't get paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's just little things like that we're coming together and realizing that it's a problem. There's a couple of people. The thing was, and when we first started going into this, SAG went on strike. And my, how do I say it? My main source of like resources and knowledge
yeah.
were people that were in SAG.
What's SAG?
And Screen Actors Guild.
Okay.
So they were kind of educating me, letting me know and stuff like that. We had to take a pause because they went on strike, the writers were on strike, the actors were on strike, and there was just so much going on. So we definitely took a seat back to it, waiting for things to kind of get situated with them. And then they would come back and really help me and educate me in getting the tools that I need to get this to happen. So I
definitely see what you're saying. I think everybody has that problem, you know, outside of California too. It's really hard, especially people that depend on doing drag performing as their primary job, which a lot of people do. And it's really hard to get booked or like keep getting booked or just getting dropped off. We're talking about, you know, you show up and like, hey, we cut you, you know, and like, maybe you had a low appearance fee, but you're still depending on that, those tips. So like, how would you think that system would work? Like when you create a unionized, are you thinking something like kind of how they do with the dancers here in LA, where they work for a single company or two companies and they're unionized to that, or they unionized to the clubs, or what's your proposition there?
Those are both options. But the way I was looking at it was starting it here in California and then making it a national union with just like what SAG is. It's just like taking dues, paying dues, having obviously different tiers to it, and basically creating a safe haven for this community for things that we need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
it's being like independent though, or
what do you mean?
You know, they work for themselves.
Oh, right. You would still work for yourself. But just like an actor, when you have a contract with the studio and you're working for the studio, but you're working for yourself, essentially, right? So you would still do, you know, your gigs and your this and your that on your own. And you're, as just like for SAG, the way that you're in charge of paying your own dues every year to be a part of this union, it would be the same thing for, you know, for drag. You know, you would pay these dues and, you know, create basically, to simplify it, you create this piggy bank to basically protect you and help you when you're in need. And then this also would be, you know, there's actually like you have for like when you have, there's different states that have like when you have entertainers, you have to pay like a tax. So, you know, there's certain things that you can do where these bars have drag that need to be, they should be paying a certain amount,
right?
Like a due, you know, every year that would go into this, that would fund PTO, sick time, things like that.
I guess how far do you think it goes? Because like I look at it from like maybe the stance of being a bar owner and you're like, okay, we have unionized drag queens here. You can hire me. Or you can hire a non-unionized worker, drag queen, right? I'm like, probably going to go non. Yeah, because we're thinking about profit margins. Like, is this something that needs to be lobbied or?
Absolutely. And absolutely, it does. It's going to have to be because it happens all the time where, hypothetically speaking, you know, they reach out to me and they said, hey, can you do this? And I say, yeah, I'm going to do it for $50. And then the next girl is going to say, well, guess what? I'll do it for $25.
Yeah.
And then that's basically what will happen, right?
Yeah.
So it's something that we will have to lobby for. But the person that does do it for 25, that one queen, she needs to realize that she's doing a disservice to the entire industry.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So as long as we're taking the time to educate and let these girls know, hey, we're not doing this because we don't want you to work.
Yeah.
We want you to work, but we also want you to make what you deserve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's a tough world, right?
Absolutely.
And I think I totally agree with you. I think of when I first heard you say like unionizing drag, I thought of like, that's canceling drag almost. It could. Mm-hmm. There's a potential there to lose like the entire art, right? So I think it's really great to unionize and come up with it, but there has to be a really good system in place.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you. But the thing is like that person that comes at $25 or maybe these like newer queens and stuff, like people are trying to get by, you know? So like, how do we, you know, bring the community together in order to organize?
Yeah. Like and you know, it's still an art form and we're still celebrating it. And none of that is changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it's really going to take is, and I use this term for lack of words,
yeah.
But like the higher ups, so to speak,
right?
The Trixies, Alaska,
mm-hmm.
Girls like that really don't give a fuck about whether it's unionized or not, because it really
right.
to them it doesn't really affect them. They're making their coin.
Yeah,
you get
yeah,
what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. But when you have someone like Alaska and Trixie and Bianca Del Rio say, listen, I wish I had this when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And basically really educating on what the benefits are from being a part of a union, I think it would really work out and benefit the industry.
Yeah. No, I definitely think, I think there's ups and downs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And like anything,
yeah.
and like everything,
yeah.
you know, there's going to be its ups and downs. And it's going to be one of those things that it's going to be trial by error.
Yeah.
We're going to have to just figure it out. We're going to try this. We're going to see what works. We're going to see what doesn't work. We're going to see who wants to be a part of it, who doesn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the objective is to get you the most money and the most protection while you're doing what it is that you do that you love to do, drag.
Right.
That's really what yeah. it comes down to.
So do you think, like, I mean, obviously that's probably going to calm down to the initial customer. You know, like, they're going to push that down to covers and, you know, increase pricings. Like, you know, I think it's pretty slim now, profit margins already at the bars. But I think, of like, how does that affect, like, you know, the way that you're going to go to a bar, like, if there's a cover charge?
So, you know how it is when... when we talk about the millionaires and the billionaires
yeah.
and whatnot, and that's basically what it's going to come down to.
Right.
Same thing with drag.
Yeah.
If we're paying 2%,
yeah.
and then this person is, you should not be paying the same amount that I'm paying, and I'm not going to pay the same amount that Trixie's paying. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And yeah. all those things will be recognized.
Right.
You know what yeah. I mean? I'm not going to, and those little things like that have to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're going to take those cuts and add to this or add to that or take from here, you know, we have to understand that if we want this to keep going and growing and everyone to continue to make money from it and be protected, the Trixies and Alaskas and myself, even because I am a Rue girl, there is going to be those little,
mm-hmm.
you know, adjustments made, because now
yeah.
This bar has a $5,000 a year
yeah.
fee that they have to
yeah.
pay to have drag at their bar.
Or
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or it doesn't have to be incredibly complicated, I guess. It could be something as simple as like, hey, we're a part of this union. So like my fee, instead of it being 50, it's at 100, I'm unionized and I have to pay my dues. So that's a part of working with the, you know,
absolutely.
With unionized drag.
Absolutely. Teams. Yeah.
You know, and that just like actors have their different rates, you know.
Absolutely. Like, and also yeah. it's like, we're talking about, you know, if you have a club, that is using union, you know, queens, then let's just say their fee a year is $5,000, and we have one that doesn't want to use union fees but wants to use drag there, their fee might be a little higher. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. certain things like that. But I think that, you know, once it kicks off and we really start, which is why I just want to work on it here, because California has San Diego, Palm Springs, Los Angeles, downtown LA. There's drag everywhere. I think it's a great place to start. Yeah. And then take it from there.
It's definitely very interesting. I'm glad to hear that you're you know driving the mission on that. There's a lot of moving pieces on it.
You know, it started from the fact that RuPaul's Drag Race, that makes millions and millions and millions of mm-hmm. dollars and requires you to come compete, they expect you to spend your own hard-earned money to be on a television show. And there's not one single show on television, besides Drag Race, that makes you spend your own money. If you are going to compete on a cooking show, they give you the ingredients, right? Yeah. And they give you the stove, and they give you the refrigerator, everything. America's Next Top Model back in the day, you weren't making the clothes. You didn't. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are the only reality television show that requires you to spend money. And what we do is not cheap.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so unfair. Now, I will give them credit for this, because there are upcoming seasons, which this is where I really get in trouble, that I can't really say, but they have thrown more money.
Yeah.
Because people like me open their big old mouths to say certain things.
Good.
So they have made some changes. How long it will stick, I don't know, but I will give them credit where credit is due, and they have some changes. So
well, that's good. Good for you. What are next steps for the union for you?
Next steps, I would say is, you know who Bethany Frankel is, she's trying to unionize something with reality television. People who are on reality television, because we're not a part of SAG, we don't qualify for anything that has to do with SAG. So I know that she's working on something like that. And my next goal was actually to get in contact with her and her team, because I wanted to kind of pick their brain and see what she was doing in order to get that done.
They're a little further along.
Yeah, because I feel like they're a little further along than I am. Because, you know, with the strike and stuff, my person who was really, her people, I should say, just wasn't really accessible to me. And I felt kind of like bothering. So you know what I mean? Like they had bigger fish to fry, so to speak. But now that that's kind of over with and whatnot, I feel like we can get the ball rolling again. And that's my next move. I really want to talk to her, her team, and see where they're at.
Yeah.
And how they got there. And
who
of course,
is helping you contribute.
I'm sorry?
Who else an influence is helping you contribute?
Who else?
Like is contributing at an influential level.
And on a financial level, actually, right now, this is just my kind of passion project that I've mentioned to a couple of queens. And they're all kind of on board.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I wanted was to know that I had support.
Yeah.
And I do. I haven't gotten any pushback yet. I'm sure there will be. Because of course with any new projects like this, there comes apprehension and stuff, but I'm all ears. I want to know. I want to know what it is that you are afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see how we could.
Is it expensive? Like what's it? Does it? I mean, obviously you have to use your time, but.
See the thing, what happens is when you do this you create a union, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're essentially creating a community. Mm-hmm. You're saying we are collectively coming together with our own money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we are going to help each other out. Because you have to remember, when you're paying these things, it's like putting it in this piggy bank.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I didn't get sick this month, but you
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So my dues help for that. And you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's really just coming together
mm-hmm.
and then figuring out, you know, how we allocate certain things and how things happen and who pays what. And then, you know, the ones that are making money off of our backs, you know, what should we be entitled to? You know, there's a thing with, you know, club promoters where you have a show and the show brings in, let's just hypothetically, it brings in $3,000, mm-hmm. and there's four queens and you paid each queen $200, right? So yeah. 2, 4, 6, 8. And mm-hmm. then they walked out with $2,200 mm-hmm. and then $800 split between four drag queens.
Yeah.
That should not be happening at all.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a 40-60 thing. 60% should be divided amongst those four queens mm-hmm. and 40% should be for that yeah. promoter, because you should not be making more money
yeah.
than five other people.
Yeah.
It just does not make sense.
Well, absolutely. But you know that the promoter puts the money up. Right.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's how it works with yeah. drag. They're not putting any money up. What money are they putting up? They're not putting no money up whatsoever.
Yeah, because you're paid day of, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no marketing.
Well, they take the risk.
There's no marketing.
Yeah.
There's that they're paying for. They're not out putting flyers on cars like they used to do in the 90s mm-hmm, and early mm-hmm. 2000s. They're putting up posts on Instagram and Facebook and X and Twitter, whatever, and saying come, you know what I mean? So there really isn't a loss mm-hmm. there, because we're not talking, we're talking yeah. also about bars. We're not talking right. about a theater where I spent $30,000 in the theater.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that. It's just, and again, that's something that I would have to sit down with
mm-hmm.
different promoters and see how they feel. They might, that's where I might get some, you know, like
yeah.
kickback.
Have you thought at all like doing private promoting or independent?
Me doing it?
Yeah.
No, I really haven't thought about that. No, it's not really my thing. I don't mm-hmm. think I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't really dipped into that.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you could design it the way you want. Right?
Yeah. I think the promoter takes on a lot of the risk. Ultimately, if it doesn't make money, they have to pay it out if they're independent.
Totally. And, when it's, you know, at a theater doing something like that, mm-hmm. absolutely. But yeah. you know, when it's, you know, at a bar or something like that, there's
yeah
it's a little
different. Like, do you guys have like your promoter at your bar, do they work for the bar or they're independent?
That's the thing, they're like independent.
Yeah, yeah.
So they come in and say, hey, I have this
yes.
show, let me bring it here.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But they don't have any expenses, you know what I mean? Like yeah. the bar isn't saying
mm-hmm.
you know, on the contrary, they're saying, I'm gonna bring this, give me 5% of yeah. the bar and the door.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So or,
well, the bar usually has like a mandatory minimum bar spend,
right? Yeah,
you know.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, and again, every bar is completely different.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, some don't even have a cover, and that comes true with like mm-hmm. even our contracts. Like that affects mm-hmm. when we have our bookings with
yeah.
our contracts. What if it's a private event? Is there a cover? What's the capacity? All those things, because if my fee. And this is just a number. My fee is $1,000 and it's a 500 person capacity with a $5 ticket charge, and they're going to pay me $1,000. And then I go to the next club, right? Mm-hmm. And that club has a capacity of 2,000.
Yeah.
And they're charging $10 yeah. at the door. Do you see where?
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
so definitely. Then it's stuff like mm-hmm. that plays a factor also. You yeah. know what I mean? So absolutely. I'm completely aware. Yeah. You know, with promoters, you know, it's their risk mm-hmm. and whatnot. So yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So that's why you have a manager, though, right?
Yeah, it's that literally.
Yeah. I guess would be the union, right? At this
totally, point. Totally, totally.
Okay, all right. Well, we're very excited for what you're working on for the union. Thanks so much for sharing that. You have a lot of work ahead of you.
Yes,
I'll be cheering you on from over here for sure. So back to your personal life. So you said before that you're in a relationship. Not your old relationship, your new relationship.
No, this is a new.
You counted nine, I think, right? Nine fingers.
Nine fingers.
And all right.
Oh, it's been since April. We met April. Yeah.
However many that is. Or
yes.
It's December now.
Yeah.
April this year or April
this year? April this year.
Oh, that's no months.
Yeah.
Barely.
That's what?
That's like no months.
That's no months.
I don't know. It's no months at all, actually. What is this? It's like eight-ish?
Eight-ish. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so where'd you guys meet?
So, it's so funny because I had just broken up with the one you had just brought up.
A rebound one.
It was not a rebound.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so funny because we had just broken up. And 2 weeks later, I was going to this wedding and I was supposed to go with him. And I'm like, Now I got date. Like, I'm gonna have, need a date and go by myself. I'm like, go celebrate love. Yeah. And it was a gay wedding. So I was like, yeah, whatever. This fucking sucks.
Hey, gay love.
Yeah. That's what I was feeling. And yeah, the day before, I ended up going early. So the day before, I met, his name is Jason. I met Jason at a bar with like the wedding party and stuff. And then we ended up sitting next to each other at the wedding and we just hit it off. We have spoken every single day since.
You ended up sitting next to each other at the wedding. You didn't have anything to do with that?
Did not. Now, if that was not the case, would I have orchestrated that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But like, no, fate.
Are you sure, like, your friend that like organized the wedding didn't have anything to do with it?
No, I don't think so. He didn't.
Like, let me put two singles next to each other.
But it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was a singles table, but there was like, I think two more single people at that table.
Okay.
I think like another two single. Two more, because then my friend Matt and James, they're together. They're engaged. And then it was Mark and Clark. No, Mark and Ken. Mark and Ken over here. And then another single person here, I think.
It sounds orchestrated, though. If I was organizing that, I'd put you with, like, other couples and singles so I can make you feel sad, you know? And then, like, you know, oh, wait, there's a guy here. Like, oh, other people are dating. Have you ever asked him?
I did.
Did they set it up?
No, they didn't set it up. They didn't. They just, like, put us both. They just put us
But production.
Yeah. That's what it's giving.
Friends run your life more than
Oh my God, totally. I see it now. Yeah. I see it. I see
Wait
it.
A second, bitch.
I see it.
Okay. So you've been together for like 8-9 months ish, whatever. You met by fate, supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's sure. Like, what do we sit next to this bitch? No. okay. So when was the last relationship he was in before you guys met? Were you guys both rebounding? I said, no, it's not a rebound.
Who cares?
No. He was still in one.
No,
he was still in one.
Not anymore.
No.
No.
He left his wife that day.
Remember that other single person at the table I was telling you about?
No.
Oh, shit.
I'm just kidding. You're single now, bitch.
Yeah. No, he was out of a relationship for a few months, like late the year before, I believe.
Yeah.
He had ended things with his ex. So,
a girl or a guy?
A guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like knew you were doing drag and like knew you were.
He did not, which made everything so much better.
Take me into
So it's so funny because the day of the wedding, the cast for All Stars got released.
Oh,
so imagine that being released and being at a gay wedding. They're just like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And so he's like, the fuck is everyone talking about? What did you do? Like, what's so exciting?
Little
and then, yeah, it was so funny. And then someone was like, oh, you've been talking to that, you know, Naisha girl, that drag queen for a while. And he's like, who? And like, the drag queen. And he's like, there's a drag queen here? Like, you know,
at
my
table?
Yeah, no, that was actually the day before. Oh. And at the club, they're like, you've been talking to that drag queen for a while. They're like, fucking drag queen here? What? And he had no clue. So that made it actually kind of fun.
And that's
made,
hot.
Yeah, made it a genuine connection.
Yeah. Was he like bi before that? Or
He was not.
how does he feel about it? How did he think?
No, I've said it before, having a supportive partner makes everything so much better. And I'm just so grateful. He's super, super supportive.
Yeah. Awesome. He looks hot as fuck.
He is.
I'm going to say it. Yeah. You guys did a mirror picture together. He's I was like, super. What the fuck?
He's a hot.
I thought we were texting. Oh my God. No, he's so sexy though.
He is.
But does he go to your shows?
He does.
Yeah.
So we're doing long distance right now before he moves to California.
Where's he living now?
Indianapolis. Yeah, he lives in Indiana. So it is tragic because it's Indianapolis. Not going to
live far.
Yeah, actually, I just got a new place and I move in at the end of the month.
Big step.
And yeah, so I move in at the end of the month before he does. So then he'll come later on next year.
Yeah.
And we see each other very often, actually. I just saw him last week. So we see each other all the time. It doesn't even feel long distance, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So when you see each other, is it like here and there? Do you guys go to like different destinations?
No, it's... Yeah, so he'll meet me somewhere that I'm working, or when I'm in Chicago, he just comes to from Indiana.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I've been to Indiana quite a few times. So we make it work. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know each other's flaws now, like your pet peeves and stuff. You got that out of the way because you're traveling?
Totally. Yeah.
You see, like, you're dating someone, you move in, you're like, fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly. That's the thing about being in a long-distance relationship is that when you see each other, it's for days at a time. Mm-hmm. And you're sleeping together. You're showering together. You're doing everything together. So I pretty much know what it's going to be like to live with him.
Who's the aesthetic one? Who's designing everything?
He is. I'm
really?
I don't have that gay gene.
What?
I don't. I have good taste.
Yeah.
I can say, like, hey, that looks great. I don't like this. I know what I like.
Yeah.
But to conceptualize something and come up with something like at the house and this and that, that's going to be all him.
So what are you going to do with your stuff? Is it going to auction?
No.
Announce the dates.
I'm bringing everything over to this apartment, and then we're going to do it slowly throughout the year before he gets here. So we'll go get something for this and get that.
Yeah.
And this, yeah.
Look at Facebook Marketplace. Guess how I met her.
No, my God, I'm gagged. Nisha just bought my table.
Bitch, I'd rather give shit away.
Oh, like, that's what I'm
saying. Worst.
There were things in my house, and I'm like, this, I'm just going to throw it out. And my friend's like, no, put that at Marketplace. I'm like, fuck that.
It's so
let somebody just take it.
Yeah. I was on Instagram, I was like, free.
Yeah.
They're like, Maticus is giving stuff away for free. Yeah. I'm like, come and get it.
Get it.
It's no holds. No holds.
Come and get it.
Do you sell your outfits, or do you rewear them?
No, I have them. I don't.
You keep them.
I do.
How do you have the space?
That's why I need a big place. Yeah. It's very rare. There's certain things that I've given away. I've sold a couple things.
Yeah.
But like all my Drag Race stuff, I have all of it. Mm-hmm. I have everything. I will archive it. I will keep all that stuff. One day I dream to have like a showroom of all these things and just have it everywhere together with like first movie I ever make. I want to keep shit from set.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep bringing shit from everywhere, from everything, and just
a little Kim Kardashian over here.
Yeah. Oh my God, exactly.
Yes.
Do you know how excited I was when I seen that episode and she has all these damn like That's perfect.
Yeah, I love that.
That's exactly what
I love keeping clothes too.
Me too.
I'm like, I have no room anymore.
Yeah.
But so your man's not gonna get any closet room, huh? You're like, other room.
This place,
you have two rooms or what?
This place, it's a two bedroom and there's actually four different closets. So
what?
he can definitely have one of them.
And on the hall?
There's two different halls. Each bedroom has a huge closet, and then there's two different ones in the
what closet is he gonna get?
No, he can get like a bedroom closet. He can take
it's like a
full one.
He's got two closets in the room.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he can actually get like a full one.
These are both mine.
Yeah, we totally are doubling up on our wardrobe too. Yeah. So it's like
you're the same size, kind of. Do you share clothes?
Yeah, he's a little bigger than I am.
Yeah,
he's more muscular.
Yeah,
yeah. So. And he's taller, so, but I still fit into it.
Work on that.
Yeah, no, I know. I just want to grow.
Like, I can get in here. This is cute.
Hell yeah,
that's hilarious. So, are you guys open or closed?
We are closed.
Closed.
Yeah, we're closed.
We've always been closed relationships, or
yeah, no, totally. Always been closed. I was in one relationship where I eventually was like, oh, I think this needs to be open, but it wasn't that it needs to be open. It just needed to end, really, is when it happened. And I think that that's like a big misconception with like opening and closing relationships.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this needs to be open, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, actually, I think you just need to end it.
Should break up.
And that was a previous relationship. But this relationship, we've talked about it. And we both are like, no, we don't really see the need to have an open relationship.
Are you like a raver? Do you go to raves and parties or?
I don't.
Yeah,
I do the parties every now and then. I did Palm Springs Pride. That was fun.
What?
Too much. I drank too much.
I didn't see you there.
Did you look on the floor?
I didn't. No. I thought that.
Just missed me.
Just looking for this pedo.
I know, right? Just not a huge party. You know, I like spending time with friends and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I love that for you. So I'll ask you a couple of financial aspect questions. You could tell me if you're uncomfortable with them or not.
Yeah.
Is drag your only source of income? Do you have another job?
No, drag is my 100% source of income right now. Yeah.
Okay. Totally. You're not escorting.
I am not. I'm not escorting.
No, I
stopped doing that. No, I've never escorted. No, but kudos to those that do, because a lot of my friends do. And
yeah.
Totally. Get like it. For sex work.
Get your bag.
But no, that's it.
We should unionize sex work.
Can we?
Yeah, I don't know. How much can you make performing and appearing in drag after being on RuPaul?
It's different, really. Like we talked about it earlier. It just really depends where you're working at. Even still on Drag Race, I still know of places that are still going to, especially if you're a local, mm-hmm. you know, if it's where you live, that are still going to pay $250. And then you have your $4,000 or $5,000, you know, gig.
Yeah.
Then you have, you know, I did a halftime show for the Chicago Bulls.
Nice.
That was a lot of money.
Yeah.
So
they don't know better though. That's the problem.
It just
you're like, what's your budget?
Stuff like that, right? So you know, it just really depends. But just know that you can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I am living comfortably.
Yeah. Are you happy with your decision?
I am. I used to work at a salon full time because making other people look and feel beautiful is like my favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that anymore because I really don't have to.
Okay. So you said like you before drag, you were doing hair.
Yeah.
Obviously you destroyed your own.
And like, I destroyed my own.
I got it. I don't grow it anymore. But yeah. I won't keep dragging you.
Yeah. Back, you
know? So what are your long-term goals now? Like, how do you plan to keep going? You keep going to do drag? You have different plans?
Drag will always play a role in my life period, whether it's, you know, right now, like my 100% source of income. But I moved here to pursue acting. I leave on Monday to shoot some content for some promo stuff for something else for next year.
Like OnlyFans?
No. I keep creating that content with different people, but I never like it, so I don't post it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just creating
one day.
Everyone, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, come out with all your outfits in your little museum.
I definitely will be putting on a producer hat and producing some stuff. And I moved here to pursue acting, mm-hmm. and I'm writing. So I'm really excited about the future.
Yeah,
And living here in California.
Was that acting now? Right now, I'm sounded very excited.
Did it?
Literally very excited to be acting.
Did it?
LA's got you.
Was it kind of monotone? Was it that?
Yeah. I'm really excited. Like,
no, I
are you? Are you?
Are you? You know what it is? Is that I'm a what do you call that? An introverted extrovert?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's how you say it. I'm an introverted extrovert. Like, yeah. I get excited about things, but I'm not like.
So you're confused. Yeah.
I'm not all that.
And doesn't that cancel it out? Introvert, extrovert? You're like, you're just.
That just makes you boring.
No personality. Yeah. There's really no excuse for you being quiet.
There you go. That's the answer.
No, he's introvert and extrovert.
Yeah.
Oh, so piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm just shitty person. You're great. Okay, so our last question.
Yes.
And the most important is, I'm just kidding. What's one thing up to this point in your life that you want to be recognized and remembered for?
One thing in my life that I want to be recognized and remembered for.
What people think about you, like, what do you want them to say about you? What do you want them to remember you for?
Wow. That was one very talented person who really not only fought for themselves, but fought for others.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I just want you to remember that I'm super talented, and that Drag Race does not define people's talent. People who get eliminated do great and amazing things.
Yeah.
I am the type of person that I'm always advocating for everybody else. I just love to help others. I grew up with no drag mom, really. I kind of did have one, but later on, not while I started. You know, I did everything on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And to have someone help me would have been absolutely amazing. And I think that
plays a role as to why I love helping other people.
Yeah.
And making people's lives just easier. Mm-hmm. And along with my talent, I would love to be remembered for that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that. You left out representing the Latino community.
Yes.
But I'll say that for you.
Yeah.
The most important. The most important part.
Mi gente Latina, yeah. Of course.
You know what this means. I'll rub my chancla. I'll be like, yeah. You forgot about us. I'll speak for them for you. But I appreciate you so much. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to meet with me and, you know, tell us about all your crazy things that you're working on. I'm really excited about your union. We'll see if it kills drag or if it doesn't.
Yeah.
And,
no pressure.
No pressure
whatsoever.
No pressure at all. Like, you're going to do great. You're already in the club. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully Lance will get behind you. Or he'll get rid of you. One or the other.
I love that you think it's Rocco's and it's Roscoe's.
No, sorry. I keep saying it backwards.
Yeah.
Right, Chicago. So, wait, you do not work at any of the clubs here?
Yeah, I work everywhere here, actually. I was just in Palm Springs this weekend? I think I was in Palm Springs this weekend.
Yeah.
I work at Precinct Downtown.
You guys were in L.A. in Palm Springs. So just...
It's just California, guys. But, you know, California.
It's huge.
It's a lot. I think I'm at the Abbey coming up, Precinct Downtown, mm-hmm. Hamburger Mary's, WeHo. I work everywhere here. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, so how can people find you and see where you're performing?
You can follow me on Instagram at Naysha Lopez. It's NAYSHALOPZ. You can follow me on there. I usually put everything up there.
Yeah.
That's the one that I utilize the most.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me on there for all kinds of cool things.
Second one too.
No,
I'm creepy watching people.
No.
You can't block
that me. Like, so not me. I will watch from my own page with no problem.
Yeah.
I am not hiding.
Your acting's really taken off.
Yeah.
I almost believed you. Is there anything else you want to promote or drop that you need people to know about?
There's things going on that you just mm-hmm. can't talk about yet.
Yeah. You don't have like an email list.
Any what?
You don't have like an email sign up list. You got a newsletter coming out.
No, just follow me on Instagram and really cool announcements are coming up for really cool things, and I'm really excited for the future.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm really excited for you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh.